The color line in sports was broken long ago, and female athletes have made great strides in recognition and opportunity. But the sexual orientation of athletes continues to make headlines and spark debate. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, a conversation with Sid Ziegler. Since co-founding Out Sports 15 years ago, he's covered and played an active role in some of the biggest LGBT sports stories of the century, including Michael Sam's decision to come out. I'll talk with him about the challenges athletes face when they choose to come out. I'll also talk with one Iowan coach about the support he received after he came out publicly. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's no secret that there are many members of the LGBT community who are athletes. But for many of those individual athletes, their sexual orientation is a secret. When a high-profile athlete comes out, it makes headlines and waves. But it's becoming more common and easier. One of the things that is making it easier is OutSports.com, a website that's been around now for 15 years. Sid Ziegler is one of the co-founders of the site. He's also co-author of The OutSports Revolution, Truth and Myth in the World of Gay Sports. And he'll be speaking tonight at Iowa State University. His lecture is called The LGBT Athletes and Moments That Changed the Sports World Forever. He'll be in the Memorial Union at Iowa State tonight at 8 o'clock, and he is here with me now. Hello, Sid.
Wow, Iowa's beautiful at 9 a.m. in the morning.
It's stunning. You're on one of the most beautiful campuses in the world also. Yeah,
and
that helps.
Leaves changing. It's great.
Well, welcome. I want to go back to 1999 when you started OutSports. And at that point, it was more of a sports fan blog that you started with your friend Jim Bozinski. Can you tell me how it came about?
Yeah, back in 1999, when a lot of the athletes that we write about today were about 6 years old, nobody wanted to talk about this issue. Nobody wanted to talk about LGBT athletes. It wasn't even LGBT. The T wasn't even a consideration. It was just gay athletes. And Jim Bozinski and I were both gay and both athletes. We played in a gay flag football league in Los Angeles. And the internet was the hot topic at the time. And we were on vacation together, and we were just talking about why there was nothing out there for gay men to get together and talk about sports, why there was this idea that gay men don't like sports, that gay men couldn't be a part of sports because of who they were. So we just decided to take it upon ourselves to create a place where gay men could go and just be themselves, talk about sports, talk about Peyton Manning's touchdown passes and how cute his butt looks in his pants. So it was just kind of a fun, you know, fan blog, like you said, and it became, you know, a lot more after that.
How did it evolve? What started to happen?
Well, athletes started finding us. People who had been pushed into the closet all of their lives started finding us and saying, you know, I didn't think that there was anybody else like me, that I've been told from the day I played peewee football when I was in elementary school, that this just sports was not a place for me. That if you played football, you couldn't be a sissy. And as people started to find out sports, they started to realize that they weren't the only ones. I know it sounds crazy today that you might think you're the only gay athlete in the world, but that's how I felt when I was growing up, and that's how a lot of people felt in 1999 and the years after that. So it started to change because we started to realize that this wasn't just a place to OutSports wasn't just a place to have fun and be snarky and tell jokes. There was some real serious work that we could do in helping to change the sports world.
Was there a turning point? Was there a story that you helped to tell in those early years that made you really stop and say, wait, this is powerful?
In 2000, there was a high school football captain named Corey Johnson. He was in Massachusetts. We had only been publishing for less than a year. And football football even then was king. It was the most popular sport in America, and it was the real bastion of masculinity. It was the definition of masculinity. Football defined more than any other institution in our culture, as it does today, what a, quote, man is supposed to be. So it's the last place that you were supposed to find a gay man, and certainly one who would be accepted by his teammates. But Corey Johnson was the captain of his football team, and as a senior, he came out to his team before the start of the season, and there were some players who didn't know quite to make of it, but very quickly everyone got on board, and he told this great story of after game 3 or 4 of the season, them serenading him on the way home on the bus from an away game with YMCA. And that story, I think, made us realize that the sports world was a lot further along than we thought, that all of the trappings of sports, all of the language that's used around it, and all the machismo is just kind of the window dressing, that once you get behind all of that, inside of sports is an incredibly powerful, self-affirming place if you just put aside all of the nonsense that we put around it.
That story about Corey Johnson sounds like it was a triumphant moment in this young man's life. And I'm guessing that before he came out, he was pretty scared about what was going to happen. There are a lot of people who are afraid to come out of the closet, a lot of people who are afraid to be honest about their sexuality because they're worried about what might follow. You tell a lot of stories that are really positive. Do you think that a lot of us have a lot of misconceptions about what's going to happen if an athlete comes out of the closet?
Well, first, just to kind of button up that story about Corey Johnson, he is now a city council member in New York City. He's and one of the rising stars there in politics in New York. So his story, you know, it doesn't even have a happy ending. It just continues to be happy. So, you know, in 15 years, we've told the stories of hundreds of LGBT athletes who found the courage to come out of the closet. For the men, we have not had a single male athlete come out and have a negative overall experience. There are a couple who were outed, and I think that is a completely different ball of wax. When you're outed, it creates a completely different dynamic with your team and your family and the people around you. But when men have had the courage to come out in sports, from our experience, every single one of them has been well received and has not had all of these irrational fears of being kicked off the team or having teammates distance themselves or being forced to shower separately or all of these things that we talk about happening. None of them happen. On the women's side, there are a few times where they have happened, and usually religion is at play there. Or has been, but it's been incredibly powerful. You know, the coming out and being yourself is it is a freeing experience. Most of the athletes that I talk to cannot think of a single negative response they got from anyone. Not coaches, not teammates, not opponents, not friends, not family, nobody. They can't think of a single negative reaction they had. So We do continue to have a misperception of how particularly men in sports will react to having a gay teammate or a gay coach.
Now, I'm surprised that you're drawing a distinction between men and women, and I want to dig into that a little bit more, because I think for many, many, many years, there have been a lot of stereotypes about women athletes. There have been a lot of people who have assumed that really talented women athletes are lesbians. I mean, that's the kind of thing that I've heard in my lifetime. And you're saying that women who are coming out of the closet in athletics have had a harder struggle than men?
I don't know if it's harder. I know that the coaches and players who have been kicked off their teams or fired by their schools because they came out, that I know of, were all women. Now, again, there were a couple of men who were outed, and being outed is completely different. It sets up a totally different dynamic. But every single one who's come out that I know of, who's been kicked off her team or fired from her coaching position, has been a woman. Now, I believe that at the higher levels, professional sports, college sports, there's a higher percentage of lesbians in the general population. That is from years of experience and years of talking to female professional athletes. One of them is a professional soccer player who said that half of her team, half of her pro women's sports team, is lesbian. So I think that there are more lesbians, but the dynamic that you have to deal with when you are a lesbian is that you're contributing to a stereotype. And when you're a gay male and you're coming out, you are coming
you're
out
breaking
in sports,
a stereotype.
You're breaking the stereotype.
Right.
And when you're contributing to the stereotype, there are a lot of straight women on the team who may resent that you are continuing to make them look like that they are something that they are not. That, oh, there's another lesbian. Of course, every woman who plays sports is a lesbian. So I think that's the big dynamic that women have to face that men don't.
You also mentioned religion, and in a lot of the stories that you've told where there have been real obstacles, it has to do with a religious institution or religious beliefs. And it's interesting to me because religion and sports are so closely wed in the United States, and that's a dynamic I haven't always understood. But does that create a different kind of challenge?
Sure. It's, you know, it stems from Christian and Catholic doctrine that being gay is a sin, or that homosexuality is a sin, or that homosexual sex is a sin. However you want to slice it and dice it one way or the other, if you are a gay person, you are inherently a sinner. And some people in the church say that homosexuality is and not just a sin, it's an abomination, which makes it even worse than all of the other sins. You could kill someone and that's just a sin, but to be gay is an abomination, which makes it even worse. So gay athletes face that because there's a great book called Muscular Christianity about how a century ago the Christian church targeted sports as a way to market Christianity. And as a way to help define what masculinity in America is. And so since then, there has been a marriage between sports and Christianity, and it has an effect on LGBT athletes.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Sid Ziegler. He's one of the co-founders of the website OutSports.com. He's also co-author of The OutSports Revolution, Truth and Myth in the World of Gay Sports. He'll be speaking tonight at Iowa State University in the Memorial Union at 8 p.m. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, I'm talking with Sid Ziegler. He's one of the co-founders of the website OutSports.com. He's also co-author of The OutSports Revolution, Truth and Myth in the World of Gay Sports. He'll be speaking tonight at Iowa State University in the Memorial Union at 8 o'clock. The lecture is open to the public. And we've been talking about LGBT individuals in sports. We've been talking about the act of coming out and how that goes for many athletes. And just before the break, we were talking about religion in sports and how that creates some distinct challenges for athletes or coaches who come out. And you mentioned earlier, Sid, that almost all of the men that you have been able to profile on OutSports, all of the stories that you've heard, men who chose themselves to come out, have been very positive stories. There have been occasions, even with a religious institution, where it's been a great positive story. And I'd love for you to tell me a little bit about Nate Olson.
Yeah, Nate is a high school coach, baseball and girls volleyball in rural southeast South Dakota. He coaches for a Catholic high school, And he came to us about 3 or 4 months ago and said he wanted to come out publicly, that he was tired of living life closeted and being out to just, you know, some family members and a couple friends wasn't enough, that he wanted the whole world to know. And as is true with a lot of athletes who come out, he also acknowledged that his story could help some other people, that if other people saw his story, that they might be inspired to be themselves as well. So Nate, we ran the story early August, and Nate had been trying to get a hold of the school administration to let them know that the story was coming, because the school administration did not know that he was gay. And he couldn't get a hold of them. So the night before the story ran, we said, do you want us to hold off on this? And he said, no, I can't do this for another day. I want the story to run. So the story ran, and it was shared wildly. It is one of our 10 most read stories of the entire year. And you think about that, a high school coach in South Dakota, with all of the other stories that we've had this year, is one of the top 10 stories of the year for us. After the story ran, the local media picked it up within an hour, and the school and the church in the area, the Catholic Church, had some meetings about what to do about this. And there was a real question about whether they were going to let him go because he was gay. And the athletic director at the school fought very hard and said what a mistake that would be, because he's a valued coach. They really like the job that he's done. He's a young and up-and-coming coach. And for them to let him go simply because of this would be not just the wrong thing to do, but it would be unchristian. And so, you know, what could have been a bad ending ended up being an incredibly affirming ending. And it's been great to see just this week the Catholic Church start to make rumblings about not forcing gay people out of their churches and out of positions of power simply because they're gay.
So, and I want to reiterate, he's a coach for a Catholic high school. So that's why the Catholic Church was involved in that decision in that town in South Dakota. When you started this blog as a fan site for a couple of gay guys who love to get together and watch NFL or and wanted to share your enthusiasm and your passion, and of course it evolved over time. Now it has become a major platform for people to come out. This is a place where people feel they can tell their stories. Are you surprised by that?
It's not what we intended to do when we first started. Yeah, it was a lot of fun and jokes, and I remember us making fun of Doug Flutie back in the day, who was a quarterback with the Buffalo Bills, and Wade Phillips, who was a kind of a bumbling coach back then. And we just had a lot of fun, and the site has gotten a lot more serious over the years. I don't think it's a surprise to me now that people come to us because of the care that we take with people's stories. When somebody wants to share their private life with the public, that's not a light decision. Michael Sam making that decision earlier this year, there's a lot that's been uncovered about his life, about his childhood, stuff that he's shared about siblings being killed and his mother being Jehovah's Witness and forbidding him from playing football and being gay and having a partner and his dad not liking it. And it's not always a bed of roses, your personal life, when you decide to open up, particularly about sometimes tough issues like this. So I think that what I hear over and over again is that the care that we take in telling these stories and telling the stories that the athletes want to share and telling it in their voice, I'm not surprised now that they come to us because we hear over and over again that we tell these stories well.
How did Michael Sam come to you? Because you were very involved in helping him tell his story.
Very good friend of mine is a guy named Howard Bragman, who is a publicist to the stars in Hollywood. He's helped more famous people come out of the closet than anybody else. And he's helped several people in sports. John Amici, who's a former NBA player. Cheryl Swoops, who was a former WNBA player. Alan Gendro, who was a former NCAA football player. He's helped a lot of people come out of the closet. Michael's agents contacted Howard and told them that they were representing Michael before the draft, that Michael wanted to come out before the draft. And Howard's first phone call was to me because he knows I know sports and I know how to tell these stories. And so over the next few weeks, I worked with Michael and his team to figure out what the best way to do it was. And if you Google Michael Sam Eagle Has Landed or Michael Sam Outsports, the story will come up. And I've gotten a lot of great feedback about it being a unique story, a unique look into behind the scenes of how it all happened. I mean, Michael is the first NFL player who's active to ever come out, and I to be in the middle of that was exciting and nerve-wracking, because hours before the story came out, we were very afraid that it was going to get leaked. Several reporters from Sports Illustrated to Bleacher Report were contacting us. They had heard about the story. And thankfully, all those reporters kind of kept it quiet out of respect for Michael so that he could tell the story the way he wanted to tell it.
Wow. What was your reaction? Because that was, in some ways, the holy grail of telling stories of gay athletes, is to have an active player in the NFL come out of the closet. Had you been hoping for that?
Yeah, of course. I mean, as a journalist, you want to get the big scoop, and the big scoop.
So this was a dream come true.
Yeah, and you know, Outsports, it's funny because Jason Collins decided to go to Sports Illustrated to tell his story, mm-hmm. and we've always thought that, well, you know, these big athletes will decide to go somewhere else. But because of the job that we've done over the years, and because of my relationship with Howard, Michael chose the New York Times and ESPN and Outsports all released the story at the same time. But, you know, what was kind of neat, and it was special, was affirming, was really being the one to have the behind-the-scenes story. I mean, I knew before any of these other journalists, I helped craft the strategy. And to be able to tell that behind-the-scenes story that nobody else really had a glimpse into was, as a journalist and also as an activist in the LGBT community, it was very special.
And Jason Collins, basketball player, he came out in Sports Illustrated in May of 2013. And with Michael Sam, he was drafted by the Rams and then cut. When that happened, what was your reaction? I know he's with the Cowboys now, and you've been writing about the Cowboys season. They're doing quite well.
Yep.
But when he was cut from the Rams, I mean, what did you feel at that point?
Well, it was disappointment, but it wasn't surprise. The St. Louis Rams only had one spot left at his position when they entered the draft, and they brought in Michael and a guy named Ethan Westbrooks, who was an undrafted free agent, and several other guys. And what was heartbreaking about it was that they announced all of the cuts to their team that cut down Saturday, but one. And Michael was the last guy they cut, and there was so much hope that I had and so many other people had, and there was excitement in social media that, oh my gosh, the Rams are going to keep him. And for them to cut him, it was disappointment, but not surprise. And I guess what was equally disappointing and surprising was that nobody picked him up for about 3 or 4 days. And I, you know, I believe that Michael is not on an active roster today because he's gay. I think that he was hurt in the draft by it. I think that he was hurt after he was cut by it. And I think that there are still a lot of old straight white guys running teams who still don't understand that the rest of the sports world is over this.
What do you think his future looks like?
Michael's incredibly talented. He was the SEC defensive player. If you watched him play in the preseason, he has the talent. He has the ability, the raw ability at his position to get around the corner and chase the quarterback, or to find a gap and get after the quarterback, or find the runner in the backfield. So he has what it takes. And I think a lot of it is going to be up to him. He has got to demonstrate patience. He has to demonstrate a work ethic. He has to continue to hone his craft. If he does those things, I think he'll be in the league for years. So it's at this point, it's really up to him.
Do you feel like he has to be that much better because he's gay?
It's a good question. If he had the skill of Jadeveon Clowney, who was the number one draft pick in the NFL this past year, he would be in the NFL. Somewhere between that and where he is the truth, and I'm just not sure. I think he has to be a little bit better. I think he had to be a little bit better up until now. Now that he's with a practice squad and the Cowboys have him on their team, I just think he has to be good enough to help them win. I think that's what it comes down to in week 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of the season. So I'm not sure that now he has to be better because he's gay, but I think that to maintain the draft status that he should have had, yeah, he was held to a higher standard.
You, on outsports.com, you tell the stories of all these different athletes, and many of them say, you know, here are the amazing things that I've learned about life after coming out. Here are the positive things that have happened to me because I came out. These are a lot of really positive stories. Do you talk to Michael, Sam? Are you still close with him?
Yeah, I text with him sometimes, and I saw him. I went to the run of the Rams preseason games and saw him, and spent way too late at night with his boyfriend, hanging out at the gay bars in St. Louis. But you know, I mostly try to leave Michael alone. The world wants a piece of Michael,
right?
And yeah, he has enough people knocking at his door.
Well, and it hasn't been a fairy tale yet. Do you know? Does he have any regrets? Is he still feeling good about his decision
to come out?
Yeah.
You know, I think that Michael has not talked about that, and I don't think it's my place to speak for him.
Sure.
On that.
One of the biggest hurdles, you mentioned it earlier, in the sports world when you were a young athlete having this idea, there's no room for sissies on the team. One of the biggest hurdles is the kind of language that is used during sporting events by the team members, by the fans. This idea, and I'm going to use the word sissy, but that is not a word that gets thrown out a lot. There are a lot of other far more hateful, hurtful words that get thrown out. Calling people gay, comparing the losing team to being gay, that kind of thing. I mean, is language a real problem in sports for the LGBT community?
I think it's the biggest piece holding people back, along with religion. Because when people say homophobic things, they don't mean it. They don't mean I hate gay people when they use a gay slur. They're using it as a word to put somebody down. And yes, of course, the roots of that are homophobia, but they don't mean the homophobia. So there's a disconnect between what people are saying and what they think. Kobe Bryant was a great example. Kobe Bryant, I know, is not anti-gay. He is not homophobic, and he hasn't been for years, yet he used the F word during a game, and it created an image of him that is simply not connected to how he really thinks. So people just need to stop using this language, and if that language didn't exist, we would have 10 times as many openly gay athletes. But something else that I just want to mention, you know, it goes beyond language. The University of Iowa still makes visiting football teams dress in a pink locker room. And they can say, oh, it's because pink's a calming color. Blue is a calming color, too. That's been shown. And they choose pink because they want the visiting team to feel like sissies, because being a sissy and being gay is a bad thing. And it's shameful that the University of Iowa athletic department continues to paint that locker room pink. And that the message that that sends to the University of Iowa athletes is, if you're a sissy too, you don't belong in the home locker room.
When you say somebody like Kobe Bryant can use a slur and not mean it, is there, do you think, an oversensitivity to this language in the LGBT community?
It's hard to tell somebody who's closeted, who's been told since they were two that being gay is wrong or bad or that they're not something they're supposed to be, that they're being overly sensitive. The messages that we see every single day on television, in sitcoms and in dramas, in movies, in news stories, the subtle messages that get sent about being straight is normal and being gay is not. It's hard for me to say that somebody who hears anti-LGBT language and has fear from it is being overly sensitive, given that virtually every message they hear all day from the age of two is exactly that.
We're going to take another short break. We'll be back in just a moment. And I'm going to bring Evan Risk into the conversation. He's a University of Iowa student. He's also a cross-country coach in Iowa City. And we're going to hear his story in a moment. I'm talking with Sid Ziegler. He's one of the co-founders of the website Outsports.com. We'll continue our conversation in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about how things are changing for members of the LGBT community in athletics. And with me is Sid Ziegler. He's one of the co-founders of the very influential website, Outsports.com. He's also co-author of The Outsports Revolution, and he'll be speaking tonight at 8 o'clock at the Memorial Union at Iowa State University. And with me now is also Evan Risk. He recently wrote a column for Outsports.com about his experience coming out. He's a student at the University of Iowa and a cross-country coach at Southeast Junior High in Iowa City. But the decision to come out didn't come about because of his athletic participation. It was being a fan in an uncomfortable situation that made him resolve to take action. Evan, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
And you have known since you were 15 years old that you were gay, and you had participated in sports, you both as an athlete and as a fan. You were out to some family and friends, but you had an experience as a sports fan that made you feel like you needed to be out in a bigger way. Can you tell me what happened?
It was a situation at a basketball game where a friend of mine who I had known since high school, I'd known a long time, was using homophobic language, and it was bad, and it really got to me, and I just sort of made the decision I have to tell him or just, you know, not see him anymore. It was just, it was one of those things where I felt like it was something I had to do.
And, I mean, the kinds of things he was saying, he didn't consider it to be serious, I guess. He was joking around, but
right,
saying things like, well, there aren't any gay people in our town because we killed them all before they...
Right. Yeah, but and as Sid was saying, a lot of people say things like that that, you know, absolutely don't mean it at all. You know, it's one of those things where I knew that he didn't mean it, and it was in a joking way, but I knew he didn't mean it, basically.
Right. But hearing that kind of stuff,
right, still was upsetting.
So you decided you had to tell him that mm-hmm. you were gay. When you made that decision, what was going through your mind? How did you think that encounter was going to go?
It took me a while. It took me a few days afterwards before I finally called him. I didn't know what was going to happen. I thought, I didn't know if he would, you know, fully accept me or just say, okay, you know, I accept you as a person, but I don't agree with that aspect of you. Or I didn't know what was going to, it was the first time where I'd ever come out to somebody that I truly didn't know the response. And the response I got was great. I mean, he just said that's fine. I'm really glad you told me. We're still friends. Everything's good. I'm really sorry I said that. So, I mean, the response was really great.
How scared were you to have that conversation with him?
I was scared, but I knew it was something I had to do. So at the time it was scary, but it also wasn't in a way, because I knew it was, you know, it's something that I had thought about. I did it over the phone. I thought about calling him for a while, and then I was just like, you know what, this is something I have to do. And I called him. It rang a couple of times. I hung up, and then he called me right back, and I was just, you know, I did it right then. It was nerve-wracking, but, you know, glad I did it.
So after you told him, you go to games together, right?
Yeah.
So you go back to another game, and other people are saying the same kinds of things. Didn't you
hear
someone else?
That was at the last game we went to. Yeah. Somebody he knew had said something like that, and he said, you know, that's so gay, with a swear word in there, and to describe something about another team. And then my friend, who had been saying the homophobic remarks earlier, sort of stuck up and said, don't say that, you know. And
wow.
So.
Now, as I mentioned, you'd known that you were gay since you were 15. You'd heard a lot of this kind of language on the baseball team and in high school and things like that. What made you decide that you needed to be honest about who you were, even if you might lose friends or you might not be as accepted in the athletic community that you're in?
I honestly never really thought that I would lose friends or lose people like that. But, I mean, sort of as Sid was talking about earlier, just hearing so many coming out stories from athletes and from other high school coaches. And then he talks about Nate Olson, who came out in southeastern South Dakota at a Catholic high school. And, you know, it was the first time that a gay coach who had come out that was, you know, near my age. And I was like, well, if he can do it in, you know, rural South Dakota, I mean, Iowa City is a very gay friendly place. So I might as well be able to do it as well.
And what, before your article was published on OutSports.com, you did have a conversation with the principal of Southeast Junior High.
Right.
To let him know that it was coming.
Yeah.
Right? What kind of a response did you get from the school community and from parents and the kids on your team?
It was kind of a funny situation. I actually emailed him the day it came out. I was planning on talking to him beforehand, but had kind of put it off. And I emailed the day it came out, and I said that there's something I need to talk with you about in private in the next couple of days. And so the next day I talked with him and told him the story had came out, and he had this look of relief on his face because he thought, you know, when you
get going to quit.
Well, no, he thought, like, when you get an email from somebody that says, I need to talk in private, you're thinking, like, oh, man, what did he do? You know, what did he do to a kid? Yeah. And then he's like, oh, that's it? Good. You know, it was very, like, he was very accepting, and, you know, he told me if I got any negative reactions to let him know. And I've gotten a lot of very good reactions from parents of kids that I coach. You know, I got an email from a kid who is a teammate of mine, and when I was a sophomore, and he was a foreign exchange student, and he lives in Germany, and I haven't talked to him since. And then I got this email from him that he found my article and really liked it. I had a parent email me who told me her dad came out when he was 60, and, you know, just read my article, really liked it. The parent support has been the most surprising, and it's been the best.
How has going through this process changed how you think about yourself and how you feel about yourself?
It's been good. You know, it's one of those things where before the article came out, you know, I was out to quite a few people, but it was still sort of like, should I tell this person? Should I tell that person? When's the right time? You know, all that stuff was kind of going through my head. And then when I wrote the article and it went on Facebook and, you know, people shared it. It was on Yahoo Sports. It was on the Huffington Post. I did not think it would get that much attention. And, you know, before I knew it, 2 days after it came out, I was at the bowling alley and somebody congratulated me about my article. And I was like, who are you? Like, I was like, thanks. Like, I don't know who you are, but I appreciate it. So it was a big change from, you know, being out to some people to everybody
the whole
who
world,
has
right.
Google can just type in my name and figure it out.
So I know that Sid Ziegler's work has been influential for you, and you actually saw him give a lecture at the University of Iowa not long ago.
I didn't see him give a lecture. I met with him after the Michael Sam story came out a couple weeks after. I sent him an email, and I just said, hey, thanks for the work you do. It's, you know, I really appreciate it. And so I met with him at the Java House in Iowa City, and I talked with him for a little bit. And that was really cool. I mean, you know, somebody who I had known for a while, and I remember having a conversation with him. He asked me, you know, does your team know, stuff like that. And I just sort of said, no, that's something I never want to do. I don't ever want to go there. And he, you know, was just like, well, you know, something you could consider. And then after this summer happened and, you know, Nike came out with the Be True shirts, Michael Sam got the SB for Courage, and, you know, Nate Olson came out, I just thought, you know, this is something that I could do. And another thing that sort of wanted me to come out was, I'm in education courses, and we have a textbook, and it's mentioned two or three times about how, you know, LGBT students face a lot higher rates of depression and skipping school and generally aren't doing as well. And I thought, you know, if they have a role model in the school, that could be of help.
Sid, here's one story. We knew we were going to talk to you. And all right, so here in Iowa, we have an individual who was incredibly influenced by your work. And you gave him, in many ways, the opportunity to come out in a very powerful way. There must be people like this all over the United States and all over the world who have been influenced by Outsports.com. How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good. But, you know, there's another kid in Iowa, and I had been hoping that my lecture at Iowa State tonight, I would be able to talk about him. But unfortunately, I can't because he, for various reasons, can't or won't come out yet. And so, you know, for every Evan and Nate Olson and all the other amazing people who have come out, there are still kids who are hurting over this because of their parents or their teammates or their church or something. And so you just have to keep telling as many stories as possible and giving people as many touch points to this issue as we can.
You have said that media is the biggest reason we don't have more out athletes, because why? Why do you think that is?
I've started yelling at reporters over the phone, and I need to stop because I will sit patiently through interviews, whether it's with the Associated Press or USA Today, and their questions are about the struggle of gay athletes and the risks of coming out. And that's the tone that they continue to take with these stories. What are you going to lose if you come out? When if you talk to LGBT, not just athletes, LGBT people, when they come out in their private lives and come out publicly, it is an incredibly powerful, self-empowering, rewarding time. Yet people, particularly in sports media, continue to believe that they don't want to believe it, but they continue to believe that it's hard to be gay in sports. And every single athlete that I know who is out, maybe with one or two exceptions, says the complete opposite. But the media just continues this, how hard is it? How much struggle is there? And I think those undertones, I think, continue to tell a different story than reality.
When you look to the future, so you feel like we need to be telling different stories in the media, but when you look to the future, what do you see as the biggest hurdles that are still remaining?
I really think it's just athletes. I hate to say it, but kind of just they have an irrational fear in their head, and I say irrational because that fear isn't connected to what people truly believe. It's connected to these subtle messages they get from the media. It's connected to the language that they hear that's disconnected from how people feel. And so they have to find their way through all of the nonsense. At the end of the day, sports are an incredibly powerful thing based on camaraderie and teamwork and hard work and determination and celebration and victory and all these great – that's what sports is about. We have to stop talking about homophobia as being inherent in sports because it's not. And I think that's the big hurdle that the athletes – they just have to somehow see what sports really are. And that's an incredibly welcoming place for anybody who wants to participate.
When I think about what the world was like in 1999 for LGBT individuals and what the world is like in 2014 in a lot of different arenas, incredible strides have been made in this 15-year period. Do you feel like sports are lagging behind the rest of our culture?
It's catching up fast. I'll tell you that much. It's I think that I thought we would see an openly gay NFL player 5-8 years ago because I felt that sports is ready then. And I think that I don't think sports is necessarily lagging, but the perception of sports is lagging. You know, the perception is that Hollywood is Tinseltown. It's gay. It's everybody. You know, nobody cares if anybody's gay, but the number of actors, A-list, B-list, C-list, D-list actors who are gay and won't come out of the closet, it's more than you could imagine. So I think it's really no different from sports. So I think the perception of sports is really what is lagging, and I think that when that perception changes, you'll see the tidal wave of out-athletes build even faster.
Evan, what would you say? Sid was just talking about another young person in Iowa who doesn't feel ready to come out to teammates or whatever his or her situation is. What would you say to other young people in the same situation you were in a few months ago?
I would say reach out to somebody, whether it's a coach, you know, if it's a high school student, a guidance counselor, friend, somebody. I mean, just reach out to somebody and realize that there's no rush. It's not like something you have to do this month or next month. But at the same time, there's never a perfect time. Like, you're always going to be stressed about a test or something. You know, there's never an absolute perfect time to come out. But there's also no rush. And definitely find somebody you can talk with.
Evan Risk, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Evan Risk wrote about his story for Outsports.com. He's a student at the University of Iowa and a cross-country coach at Southeast Junior High. And Sid Ziegler, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me. Really appreciate you talking about this.
Sid Ziegler is one of the co-founders of the site Outsports.com. He'll be speaking tonight at 8 p.m. in the Memorial Union at Iowa State University. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe.